Matt is a prophetic minister, travels all over the world, and he's been with us since Wednesday, and has just had a wonderful, wonderful ministry with us. The content of the messages has been really, really good. The moving of the Holy Spirit has been powerful. People have been encouraged and changed. So if you didn't make any of those meetings, I think this morning will just kind of be a continuation of that. Also, Matt is involved, he and his wife in ministry, in rescuing children who are being trafficked. And they've rescued something like 250 children already and have vision for that just growing. And that happens in different countries. So as you give in this offering, you are sending him to the nations and you are helping rescue children out of sex trafficking. But not only are you helping rescue children out of that, but you're helping those children to be provided for, to be nurtured, cared for, discipled. So your giving is going to go a long way in that. Are our ushers ready to getting ready here? Well, let's do this. To conserve time, I'm just going to turn things right over to Matt to minister. And then when the ushers, you just pass the plates as Matt is sharing. But let's just give Matt Sorger a real jubilee welcome as he comes to share whatever's on his heart to share today.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Good morning, Jubilee. It's an honor for me to be back in your house again this year. We were here 2 years ago, and I just got to boast on your pastors here. You know, Pastor Mark and Pastor Becky, they are some of the greatest people, and they are so special in the body of Christ. Can we thank God for them this morning? It really is for me to worship with you and to minister here with you. It's an honor for me to be here again with you guys. We really love you guys sincerely. So we're very excited for what the Holy Spirit has been doing. And I know today God has a word for you. And I believe the word of God is powerful and anointed, and it could shift things in our lives and our hearts and even change the direction of our destinies. So we invite the Holy Spirit here today again to minister to us and to lead us into all truth and to empower us to be who God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. So, like Pastor Mark was sharing, I got married. I don't know. Do we have the picture of my son? I don't know if the sound guy or the video guy can pop that up on the screen again for those who haven't been here throughout the week. My wife, Stephanie, sends her love and prayers and greetings. We have a four-month-old son now. Praise the Lord. So, I'm a new daddy, and I'm excited about that. There they are. So that's Stephanie, and that's Braden James. Praise the Lord. Braden James is getting bigger each day. Praise God. He's a four-month-old, and he wears six-month clothes. So when we took him for his last doctor visit, they measured his height, and the nurse measured him twice because she thought she measured him wrong. And she looked back at me, and she said, he just went off the charts. So I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to be a giant slayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So fatherhood has been so much fun and so awesome. But, when we got married 4 years ago, I met Stephanie in Africa, in Mozambique, Africa. She was ministering with Heidi Baker for several months in missions work, and I had brought a team over there, and we met in a Muslim village doing an evangelistic outreach. And now we're married 4 years and have a son. And, when God spoke to my heart after we were shortly married. I had been going to the nations for 15 years already, even before that. But God had really spoken to my heart to go and to find the lost children. And God had just put his heart inside of my heart. And, for those who sowed this morning, thank you so much. Because as we stand here today, like Pastor Mark said, we have over 250 children rescued out of trafficking, which for me and Stephanie, it's the forefront of our hearts in ministry right now, and will be for years to come. We're not stopping until we see at least 1,500 children rescued. And it's just a joy for me to see the testimonies. You know, I get to hear and see the testimonies every week of these children and how they're being transformed and changed and healed and set free and how God is redirecting their lives. So it's an amazing thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Genesis 37. Let me ask you a question here this morning. How many have ever had a word from God, a prophetic word, a scripture, a promise, something you believe God spoke to you, only to see things in your life look like they're going in the opposite direction? Praise the Lord. Doesn't that just make you happy? You know, you get a promise, a word, a scripture, a dream, a vision, or something, and it's like all of a sudden life circumstance look like, it appears like, okay, God, this is going in this direction, and I thought I was going to go in this direction. Well, you know, you're in good company today, and I want to start here from Genesis 37 and verse 7, because there was a man named Joseph in the Bible who had a great dream from God, and it was an authentic dream from God. Genesis 37, verse 7, he gets so excited. So he goes to share the dream with his brothers who happened to be in the dream. And he says, "Brothers, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf rose up and stood upright. And behold, yours," now this is an awesome dream, "yours stood around about my sheaf and bowed down." Isn't this a great dream, guys? Now, they didn't think it was a great dream. His brother said to him, "Shall you reign over us? Are you going to have us as your subjects and dominate us?" They hated him all the more for his dreams and for what he said. They didn't like his dream. Now look, you just gotta accept the fact today that not everyone is gonna like your dream. Not everyone is gonna like what you what you believe, you know, God has for your life or a promise you're believing for. So, you know, Joseph didn't let that rejection stop him. He had another dream, and of course, he had to share that dream as well. And this time, he says, "Look, not only the 11 stars, but even the sun and the moon bowed down to me." Now, they could not handle this dream, and his brothers made a free will decision. And they said to themselves, "We are going to do everything we can do to make sure this dream will never come to pass." And they had the free will to do that, and they made those choices, and their choices began to have a negative effect on Joseph's life. And you know the story. I won't read all the scriptures, but I'll recount it for you this morning. You know the story how then they took Joseph, right? And then what did they do? They threw him in a pit. They said, "You're not going to reign over us. We're going to reign over you." And they threw him down in a pit, and they took his robe of favor off of him. The father gave him this beautiful coat, and they took that off, and they tore it, put animal blood on it to make it look like he was devoured by a wild beast. His father thought he was dead. Then what do? From this place of the pit, then they sell him into slavery. Oh, praise the Lord. Like, as he was getting out of that pit, he probably thought, "Yes, I'm getting out of this pit," only to be sold as a slave. Then, when he's in the slave house, what happens? He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. So now false accusation comes against him. I mean, it's like he had this dream from God that he was going to be lifted up. He had this promise from God. "You're going to be lifted up. You're going to rule. You're going to reign." Now what happens? The exact opposite happens. He's thrown into a pit. Now he's sold as a slave. Now he's falsely accused, and then after that false accusation, he's finally thrown into the dungeon. So it's like he just goes lower and lower and lower and lower. So if you are here this morning and you feel like things in life have not played out like you thought they would, or it looks like the circumstances of your life are not fully blessed or fully going in the direction of what you even see in the Word, of what should be happening in your life, I want you to get really happy today. Get really happy today, because usually before the greatest breakthrough is the greatest opposition. Usually when the enemy is the most terrified of what God has for your life is when he fights the hardest. Oh, praise the Lord. But I am here to tell you today, no demon, No person, no free will choice of another individual can stop the blessing of God from your life. Nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. Even when it looks like another person's free will choices are having a negative impact on you, I'm here to tell you today that those things do not have the final say in your life. God is the one who has the final say. And when I study the scripture, and I love this scripture in Psalm 105, verse 17, it's a reflection on Joseph. It's a reflection on his life and what he went through. And I want to read this to you. I want to read this to you because it gives amazing insight. Psalm 105, verse 17. He, talking about God, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a slave or sold as a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron. His soul entered into the iron. I mean, look, this is how painful this experience was for Joseph. Not only was he bound in chains of iron, but his soul entered into the iron. That's how deep this was affecting him. And then it says, verse 19, this happened until his word to his brothers came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the peoples, and let him go free. And he made Joseph lord of his house and ruler over all of his substance. Now we see the end of the story in this scripture here in Psalm 105, how eventually he is made the ruler. And during this time of testing, the word of the Lord tests his heart. It tries and tests him because the circumstances look opposite to the promise. And when you are in that in-between place where you have the promise, you have the fulfillment, but you are somewhere in the middle and your heart is being tested, and you're being tested to stand in faith and to believe God and to trust God, even when you don't see how it's going to happen, you don't know how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen or where it's going to happen, but you know God said, you know what God's word says, you know what God's promise is to you. And here Joseph was going through this testing time. But look what it says here in verse 17. He sent a man before them who was sold as a slave. Now, I paused and I read this again. God sent a man who was sold as a slave. When I read that, I thought to myself, God, that is two opposite statements in one sentence. Because to be sent by God to me seems very different than to be sold as a slave. I mean, to me, being sold as a slave is one thing. Being sent and commissioned by God is another thing. It's like, Lord, you know, I'll be sent as a missionary, but I would rather not be sent as a missionary to another country by being sold off as a slave into that country. How many understand what I'm saying? Right? It looks like two opposite statements, but it's not two opposite statements. God sent a man who was sold as a slave. And I'm going to tell you what this is saying. This is not two opposite statements. This is two perspectives. One is a heavenly perspective. The other is an earthly perspective. Okay, the earthly perspective of Joseph's life, he was betrayed. He was sold as a slave. He was rejected by his brothers. He was falsely accused, thrown into a pit. All the earthly perspective of what was happening. But from heaven's perspective, from God's perspective, Joseph was a man sent by God. So even though from the earthly, he was being betrayed and sold, from heaven's perspective, he was being sent. So now look, God wants to give us a new perspective today. God wants to give you a new perspective today, where maybe you have been looking at certain things in your life and you've been looking at it purely from the earthly point of view. God doesn't want you to get stuck just in an earthly perspective. He wants you to have heaven's perspective. Because when you have heaven's perspective, everything changes. When you have heaven's perspective, you know nothing can stop the blessing of God from your life. When you have heaven's perspective, you know there is a higher purpose, a higher call for everything that happens in your life. There's a higher purpose, a higher call, a higher thing that God is doing underneath the surface, underneath the surface. And, you know, it really is amazing when you look at Joseph and you see how his father gave him the coat of favor. You remember that? In the beginning of Joseph's life, he had this coat of favor given by his dad. And here the brothers ripped that coat of favor off of him. But look, although they ripped the physical coat of favor off of Joseph, they could not lift the hand of God's favor off of his life. And when God's hand of favor is on you, no matter what any demon does or what any person does, no one can take the hand of God's favor off of your life. This is just how it is. And when you look at Genesis 39, I just want you to see what the favor of God does for Joseph. I want you to see it because I think Joseph is one of the greatest examples, not only of a foreshadowing of even Jesus' life, but even our lives and our journeys. So Genesis 39, verse 4, look at this. This is when Joseph was put in the slave house. He's a slave right now. He's in the slave house. Genesis 39, verse 4. Joseph pleased Potiphar, who was the slave owner, and found favor in his sight, and he served him. And his master made him supervisor over his house, and he put all that he had in his charge. Now look over in verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, loving kindness, gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. Now this is when Joseph is thrown from the slave house into the prison. It says the warden of the prison committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was in charge of it. I want you to see what's happening here. Joseph's brothers thought, we're going to take the favor off of Joseph. We're jealous of it. We don't like it. We don't want it to rule over us. We're taking this coat of favor off. They tried to take the external coat of favor off, but the spirit of favor was still on Joseph. Even when he was sold as a slave, he rose to the top in the slave house. Even when he was thrown in the dungeon, he rose to the top in the dungeon. Now I'm going to tell you what the favor of God does. The favor of God will cause you to always rise to the top. Now, it's like you know, when I think of when I was a kid, and I had those little, I don't know, do you remember the Super Balls? Like, they were these tiny little hard rubber balls that when you threw them down, they would bounce really high. Do you remember those? We used to have contests of who could bounce the ball the highest. And it was like the harder you threw that ball down, the higher up it would bounce. And that's what you're like today. You are an anointed bouncy rubber ball. That's what you are today. The harder life tries to throw you down. Come on now, this is a word for someone here today. The harder life has tried to throw you down. The more circumstances have tried to throw you down. The more the enemy has tried to throw you down. The more people have tried to throw you down. The higher you are going to bounce. The higher up you're going to go. Come on now. You are not staying down. You are not staying down. You are going higher, 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 higher. And this is what the favor of God does. And why is the favor of God on you? The favor of God is not on you because you are perfect, because you've earned it, because you've worked for it. The favor of God is on you, Romans says, that you are no longer a slave of sin under the law, but you are now subjects of God's grace. You are under His grace. You are subjects of God's divine favor because of what Jesus has done for you. So you got to understand the source of favor. The source of God's blessing and favor on you is not because of your perfection and your striving and your working. It's because of what Jesus has accomplished. And when you turn your faith in Jesus and who He is and what He's done for you, you come under the grace of God, which means you are now a subject of God's favor on your life. Oh, hallelujah. And the favor of God, when His spirit of favor is on you, even when it looks like you're being sold as a slave, even when it looks like you're being betrayed, even when it looks like you're being rejected, even when it looks like things are not going your way, the amazing thing about it is that God is so big and so good that His favor is divinely positioning you in the right place at the right time for His plan to be manifested in your life. A man sold as a slave sent by God. And somewhere in Joseph's process, he got a perspective change. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why I know that. But I know somewhere in the process, he got a perspective change. At some point, I'm sure he thought, I'm being sold as a slave. I've been betrayed. My life is ruined. My brothers, they've ruined my life. They've stopped the plan of God. They stopped the word of God from happening in my life. I'm sure at some point he thought that. But somewhere he got a perspective change. And he realized, no, I'm not sold. I'm sent. No, I'm not betrayed. I'm commissioned by God. No, you may have rejected me, but God has commissioned me. And somewhere he started to get a perspective change in his process. And he realized something. He realized something. And I want you to understand how the favor of God will work in your life. Every single thing, every strategy forged against Joseph to knock him down, it was those very things used and anointed by the hand of God to position Joseph in the right place at the right time for God's will to happen. I mean, think about it. Thrown into the pit, sold as a slave, from there put in the dungeon. Joseph, now think about this. Think about this. Joseph had to be in the dungeon in order to meet Pharaoh. In order for God's word to come to pass, where Pharaoh would have contact with Joseph in order to elevate him to a place of power, somewhere there had to be that connection made. And it was in the dungeon that that connection was made. So now think about this. This is how big God is and how he is a master redesigner. The enemy designs one plan, but the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper or be successful. So the enemy is over here busy designing his plans for you. And God is over here saying, okay, you can plan a way, but that is not going to be successful against my son and daughter. That thing is not going to work against them because I'm already ahead of you over here redesigning this thing. So the very thing you're planning, devil, to push them down, I'm going to use that thing to position them in the right place at the right time for my will to come to pass in their life. And when you begin to get this perspective change, something happens. Something happens on the inside of you. Something happens on the inside of you. The very things that you could be bitter about, the very things you could sit wounded about and hurt about and offended about, those very things that could discourage you and depress you and defeat you and make you worried and anxious and all this stuff, you realize, Nope, and I'm going to show you this right here. I'm going to show you it. Genesis 45. I got to read this to you first. Genesis 45. Because now Joseph, you know the end of this story. He is elevated to that place of power. God's word came to pass. No matter what anyone did. We got to learn this. No, we got to learn this. Because sometimes we put more faith in the power of what people do than in the power of what God is doing. And we put more faith in what we perceive to be something blocking our destiny or hindering our destiny. And we put more focus on that than we do on the power of God working on our behalf. But I want you to get a higher perspective today. So Genesis 45 says this. Joseph, okay, he's in power. His brothers show up. Why? Because now the whole land is in famine. The whole land's in famine. His brothers show up. Joseph realizes his brothers are there. He hasn't seen them in a long time. And in verse 2, it says, he wept and sobbed aloud, and the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard about it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive? And his brothers could not reply, for they were distressingly disturbed and dismayed at the startling realization that they were in his presence. Because they probably thought to themselves, we're dead. How did Joseph get here? We sold him as a slave. He's supposed to be in slavery. How is he ruling over the nation? And they thought to themselves, we are in trouble. He's going to take vengeance on us. And they were very, very disturbed. And I love what Joseph says. Come near to me, I pray you. And they did so. And he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Remember? Remember me? I was the one you sold as the slave. Remember me? I love this. Then he says this. But don't be distressed and disheartened or vexed
or even angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Don't even be upset with yourself that you ruined my life. Don't even worry one little bit that you stole years from my life, caused me stress, pain, heartache, hours of crying. Don't even worry about it. It's all good. And then he says this next statement. He says, don't be upset because you sold me here, for God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. God sent me ahead of you somewhere. And I don't know exactly where, but somewhere Joseph got a revelation that although he was sold, he was really sent. He had a higher perspective on his life. And because he had a higher perspective, he was able to forgive his brothers. If Joseph was stuck in the earthly perspective, his heart would have been full of bitterness and anger and maybe even hatred. But because he had God's perspective, he was able to forgive the very ones that brought pain into his life. You see, one of the things that you have to have if you are to ever forgive people that have hurt you in any way, the only way you can really forgive them is by getting a perspective change that says you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. You did this, you planned this for evil, but God had another plan, and God used the very thing that you designed for something good in my life. But you have to have that perspective change. And then he says this, for these 2 years, the famine had been in the land, and there are still 5 years more in which there will be no plowing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a posterity and to continue a remnant on the earth, to save your lives by a great escape and to save for you many survivors. And Joseph had a perspective of his call, his purpose, his destiny, of why he was there and what God was doing in him and through him. But it is so, so important. And when I reflect on this, I realize something. There's only one thing that could have stopped the blessing of God from Joseph's life. There's only one thing that could have short-circuited his destiny. Now, let me ask you this question today. How many here, you do not want God's blessing short-circuited in your life? You do not want God's destiny stopped in your life. You want to fulfill every blessing, every purpose, every call that God has for you, right? The only thing that could have stopped God's blessing and God's purpose would have been if Joseph harbored unforgiveness in his heart. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if Joseph, with unforgiveness in his heart, had been elevated to power with that resentment, he would have used his power to hurt people rather than help people. Because you know, hurt people hurt other people. People that have undealt with offenses in their heart from something years ago becomes a lens over their eyes, and even future situations can come under the influence of a past offense or a past resentment if it's not dealt with. Because the Bible says the root of bitterness defiles many. And I've seen this happen. I've seen people fall into the trap of offense, the trap of bitterness and unforgiveness, and it affects years of their life. I've seen this happen with people. I could tell you stories how something happened to them, something wronged them, and they fell into the earthly perspective. They got offended. They got bitter. They refused to forgive, and how it brought negative things into their life, even physical sickness and things like that into their life because of the amount of bitterness that was in their heart. Robbed their joy, robbed their peace, robbed everything from them. So now, I want to tell you today, the only thing that can stop God's blessing on you is if you choose not to forgive. But if you do forgive, praise the Lord, nothing can stop God's blessing. Come on now. That's shouting material right there. When you choose to forgive, nothing can stop God's blessing from your life. Nothing can hinder God's purpose for your life. Nothing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you a story this morning of when I first started in ministry. Because we all go through different processes and experience different things in life. This is just one thing I've experienced in my life that
can illustrate this a little bit. I remember I was brand new in the ministry, graduated Bible college, went on staff as an associate pastor, and the pastor was going away for a week, so he said, Matt, okay, you're going to fill in this Sunday, and you're going to preach. And I'm like, praise the Lord. This is one of my first opportunities to preach, and I was so excited. And I remember that day as I got up to preach, and the power of God came in, the anointing was flowing, and it was a great move of God. And I was very encouraged and very excited. And the next week, the worship leader went to the senior pastor and said, oh, pastor, you should have seen Matt last week. He's like the sail of a sailboat with the wind. And you, pastor, are like the granite in the bottom of the boat. And he says this to the pastor. And he comes to me and tells me, oh, this is what I said. And I looked at him. I wanted to lay hands on him. I'm like, what are you saying? He's like, I meant it as a compliment. I'm like, that does not sound like a compliment. He's like, well, you know, I meant he's so solid. He's so sturdy. He's like, you know, holding things grounded in place. I'm like, no. He is not going to take it like that. And sure enough, next week, Matt, we have a new ministry assignment for you. I got two new ministry assignments. The first assignment, Matt, you're going to go into the basement of the church during church, and you're going to work with the children to, you know, do Royal Rangers. You know Royal Rangers? Okay, look, Royal Rangers is like a Christian Boy Scouts where you teach kids how to start campfires and tell them about Jesus while you do it. I didn't care anything about starting a campfire. I was like, look, kids, rubbing these two sticks together is going to take too long. Here's a match. Here's gasoline. It works a whole lot faster. Okay, that was my Royal Ranger experience. Okay, forget the sticks. My preaching career was over, okay? It was just over. There I am now teaching kids how to pitch a tent. And I'm like, oh, God, help me, Jesus. And then it's like, okay, now on Sundays, you're going to go to the nursing home down the street. I'm like, okay. And you're going to go there and you're going to preach at the nursing home. I'm like, okay. So I went to the nursing home and I had 5 people in my meeting. For 3 years, 5 people. The same 5 people. My congregation was 5 old people in a nursing home for 3 years. That was my Sunday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, I preached my heart out to those 5 people. I preached my heart out. And, you know, I'd tell them about Jesus. And, you know, they would just sit there crying and depressed. And I would, you know, talk to them about joy. And they're just sitting there crying and depressed. And I would tell them how Jesus loves them. And then they'd get saved. And then they'd get saved. And, you know, the next week they'd be like, oh, I need to be saved. I'm like, no, you were saved last week. They're like, no, I need to be saved this week. I'm like, no, you're already saved. And they would. They had no memory, so they didn't remember that they were saved the week before. So it was like every week they got saved all over again. So for 3 years, I got the same 5 people saved every week, okay? This was my ministry. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, but I got to tell you something. You know, sometimes when we're praying for breakthrough, we're praying for change or things to move or shift, you know, we're waiting for these walls to move. You know, sometimes we're waiting for circumstances to change. But I want you to see something. One last scripture in Genesis 49. Genesis 49 in verse 22. It's one last scripture because it's an amazing scripture. Genesis 49, verse 22, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, a fruitful tree, planted by a well whose branches run over the wall. Skilled archers have bitterly attacked and worried him. They've shot at him, persecuted him, but his bow remains strong and steady and rested in the strength that doesn't fail him. The arms of his hands were made strong and active by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Now, I want you just to think about this prophetic picture here. It's like there's a lot of walls, right? How many would say Joseph saw a lot of walls in his life? He did. He saw the walls of the pit. He saw the walls of the slave house. He saw the walls of the dungeon. He saw a lot of walls in his life. And like many of us here today, we've seen walls. We've seen walls. We've seen the walls of opposition. We've seen the walls of people's opinions. We've seen the walls of mistreatment. Different walls in our lives. And sometimes we're praying, God, break the walls down. And for sure, sometimes God will break those walls down. Like for the children of Israel, they shouted a great shout and the walls came down. Praise God when the walls come down. But then what do you do when the walls don't come down? Come on now. What do you do when you're praying for someone to change and they're not changing? Anyone ever pray a prayer for someone? Oh, God, change them. And they're just not changing. Oh, God, convict them. And they just don't look like they're being convicted. And you're praying. And it looks like the walls stayed exactly the same. Well, Joseph was surrounded by these walls, but I want you to see this. It says he was a fruitful tree planted by a well. Now, I'm going to give you a secret here today. No matter what walls are around your life, no matter what opposition or hindrances you perceive to be in your life, when you are planted by the well, you will be a fruitful tree. Nothing can stop you from being a fruitful tree. No circumstance, no person, nothing can stop you from being fruitful. No matter what is around your life, you can still grow and you can still produce fruit. You could still be productive and you could still grow higher. And here, because he was planted by the well, he became fruitful, and it says his branches ran over the wall. Now look at what it says. His branches ran over the wall. It doesn't say his branches broke through the wall, but it says his branches went over the wall. Now I'm here to declare to you today, you are going AWOL. In other words, the thing you've been praying to change, maybe that thing is going to stay the same, but you're not. Maybe that person's going to stay the same, but you're not. Maybe that situation's going to stay the same, but you are not going to stay the same. You are going to be fruitful and you are going to grow. Now, some breakthrough happens by you going through the walls. Other breakthroughs happen by you going over the wall. Which means this, the wall doesn't change, but you do. And God causes you internally to be so fruitful and to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until your branches grow right over that wall and then keep growing, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. And one day you look back and you realize you are over here and the walls were back over there. And though the walls remain the same, they couldn't contain you. They couldn't stop you. Though that person's opinion stayed the same, that person's opinion couldn't stop you because now you're over here. Come on now. Someone's going to get a breakthrough today. Someone's going to get set free today. You're going to get your eyes off a man, eyes off of people, and your eyes are going to get on God. And you're going to realize God is greater, God is bigger, and he is changing you even if things around you are not changing. And God is anointing you to go AWOL, to go over those walls. His branches ran over the wall. You're going up and over today. Oh, hallelujah. And you are going to turn to every single thing in your life that ever hurt you, anything that ever tried to keep you down, and you're going to be like, in the name of Jesus, I bless you, I forgive you. Thank you. Thank you for everything you did. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and God used the very thing you did to position me in the right place at the right time for God's will to happen in my life. And you can thank the enemy for pushing you into the will and plan of God. I can't tell you the number of times when I thought something negative was happening. And then I realized, God, your hand was in that thing the whole time. And as that negative thing was happening, I was going through the pain of it. Father, you were busy repositioning me, busy moving me into the right location at the right place at the right time for your will to happen in my life. And I realized something in my own journey, that God is bigger than every wall. God is bigger than the flesh of man. God is bigger than all of it. Oh, hallelujah. God is bigger than all of it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I feel a breakthrough anointing in this place today. And I believe your heart, Your heart is going to be so free. Look, look, before Joseph was free on the outside, he was free on the inside. Before he was a free man on the outside, he was free on the inside. And he was free on the inside because he totally forgave everyone that did him wrong. And because he forgave, he got the breakthrough on the inside, which then eventually led to the breakthrough on the outside. So you're going to get a breakthrough on the inside today. You are going to be unoffendable. You are going to be so unoffendable. You're going to realize, nope, God has a plan. God's working this for my good. All things are going to work together for my good. Even the bad things are going to work together for my good. Everything is working for my good. And you're going to forgive people. You're going to bless people. You're going to love people. You're going to thank them. Praise the Lord. Thank you for not believing in me. Thank you for rejecting me. Thank you so much. Thank you. You have no idea what a good thing that was for me. Hallelujah. Thank you for mistreating me, because now look how Christ-like I am. Look how much I have the unconditional love of God in my heart. Now look at how much I look like Jesus. I'm going to get raptured before you. I might be like Enoch, so much like Jesus. I'm just going to be caught up before everyone else. Hallelujah. You're going to get a breakthrough. You are going to get a breakthrough, but that breakthrough starts on the inside. It starts on the inside. Some of you have been carrying some stuff. You've been carrying, even though you're not aware of it all the time, but it's there. That person comes to your mind, it's there. If you see that picture on Instagram, it's there. You're like, oh God, yep. Well, you're going to be free. You're going to be free. You're going to be free, 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 free. You're going to stop renting out space in your head to people that don't belong there. Come on now. Some of you have been renting out room on the inside to things and situations that happened years ago, and those things are still inside of you. And God is saying, no, stop renting out that space. Give that space to me. I want full occupancy. I want to take full possession of you. So there's nothing in you that can weigh you down, pull you back, or hold you. You're free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you are stepping into that freedom. Your heart is going to be free and clear. Free and clear. Free and clear. You, free and clear. You are going to be so free, so clear, so light, so joyful, so happy. The measure of joy you're going to have is going to drive your haters crazy. You're just going to be so joyful. They're going to be like, why are you so happy? Come on now. Come on, Jesus. Free, 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 free. Free. Free, 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 free. Whoa. Shakarabanda. Oh, Jesus. Wow, I feel the anointing on that. I feel the anointing on it. I'll tell you what, some of you, okay, this is going to be your moment of breakthrough. This is going to be your moment of breakthrough. I'm going to take 30 seconds to share this with you, and then we are going to move into freedom, okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, yeah. Are you ready to have everything change? Yep. Okay. I'm going to be at our table after the service. I could keep teaching and preaching, but I want to pray. Let me just say this. We've got a whole teaching set on this. It's called Break the Power of Offense. There's only a few more left out there, but it's called Turn Your Pain into Power, Experience God's Unstoppable Blessing. We talk about how favor makes a way, how to thrive in the threshing floor, how to steward your soul, how to keep your heart free from every weight of hindrance, including that of offense. This is a powerful series that continues what I've been teaching this morning. We've got a great series out there called Prophetic Activation, and it's all about how to discern God's voice, see clearly in the Spirit, different types of prophecy, how to operate in words of knowledge, these sorts of things. That's a great prophetic teaching set. We just did that. This one, okay, look, God doesn't want you temporarily free. Even what I'm preaching this morning, God does not want it to be just temporary. He wants you to have permanent transformation. Okay? God does not want you to have temporary relief. He wants you to have permanent transformation. So in the process of freedom, we have this teaching set called deliverance and permanent change. How to really deal with the root of things, how to sustain change, how to sustain permanent deliverance when God is working freedom in your life, how to walk that out. That is another great teaching set on that. And then these two I highly recommend, Shift Your Atmosphere. It's a four-part teaching set on cultivating the glory of God in your life and cultivating the atmosphere of heaven. And this one is about your identity in Christ, living from the third heaven, how you rule and reign with Christ from heavenly places. So all of those teaching sets are out there. We're going to do a special this morning. For every three teaching sets you get, we're going to give you a fourth one for free. Praise God. So that is available out at the resource table after service. And everything you sow at the resource table with the product also helps us rescue children and advance the ministry. So praise the Lord. Now look, today you're here for a reason. God wants you to know. He has a call for you. He has a purpose for you. He has an anointing for you. And he doesn't want it to be stopped, hindered, or short-circuited. He wants you becoming the person he's intended and designed for you to be. But that means you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. God, I refuse to let any offense come into my heart. I will not be disqualified. I will not let offense defile me to the point where it hinders the purpose of God for my life. I am going to stop. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to stop renting out space in my head to stuff that happened years ago. I'm kicking those tenants out in Jesus' name. We're kicking them out. So right now, if you want to make a decision today and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm kicking out every bit of offense, every bit of hurt, anything that has tried to take residence in me. I choose today to forgive. I choose today to release. I choose today to embrace a heavenly perspective over my earthly perspective. And if you want to make that decision, just stand up to your feet right now, because this is a point of freedom for you. This is a point of breakthrough for you. This is a point where you're going to get so fruitful, you're going to go over every wall the enemy has ever tried to build around your life. Those walls are not going to contain you. They're not going to hold you in. You're going up and you're going over today. You're going up and you're going over. So, Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. We just thank you. Just start to pray right now. Father, we just thank you right now today. Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit that you give us, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you give us. And, Lord, I thank you that your goodness, your power is so magnificent that, Lord, you are designing our steps and working things for our good today. And I pray for every person under the sound of my voice right now. Father, I pray for such a grace from God to be with them that no unforgiveness would have power over them. Lord, right now I pray in Jesus' name. And I want, this is a free will choice we make. It's not because we feel it, it's because we choose to do it. Okay? Forgiveness is a choice, it's not a feeling. And if tomorrow you feel the unforgiveness again, well, then you make another choice tomorrow. How many times do I forgive? 70 times 7. In other words, every time a twinge of that comes up in you, you choose in that moment to forgive again. I forgive in Jesus' name. I release it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I have a higher perspective. I'm sent by God. I'm sent by God on a mission. I'm sent by God with a purpose. So, Father, right now I pray. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, let your anointing come all over this room. Let your anointing flow in this room. Let your presence flow in this room today, God. In the name of Jesus, I dislodge offense. In the name of Jesus, I dislodge unforgiveness. I dislodge bitterness. I dislodge anger. I dislodge it all in the name of Jesus. And I command it to loose you and let you go. I command it to loose your heart. I command it to loose your mind. I command it to loose your soul in the name of Jesus. It will not rule and reign over you. Only Jesus will rule and reign over you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, shokorobo shikiyara basha bando boshebe. And I want you to say this, say in Jesus' name, I choose to forgive. I release right now. And say this, in Jesus' name, I loose my own soul from unforgiveness, from any resentment. I command it to go and leave me in Jesus' name. There's healing flowing today. There's healing flowing. There's freedom flowing. There's cleansing flowing. I see God cleansing someone right now from hurt that you've been carrying. I just see the grace of God coming to you right now. And I see the love of God, the perfect love of the Father coming to you right now. And I just see His love washing your heart clean. I see His love washing your soul clean. Just washing you free on the inside. Jesus. Jesus, we thank you today that you are ever present. We thank you today for the power of your word. We thank you today for the truth that sets us free. It really is, Lord, truth that sets us free. And today we embrace your truth. We embrace it, God. And we receive freedom. Oh, there it is, there it is, there it is. You're receiving freedom right now. Just say, I receive freedom. I receive freedom today. Yes, Lord. We receive your freedom today, God. We receive your anointing today. We receive your love today. We receive your grace today. We thank you for truth in our minds, truth in our hearts, God. Truth that leads us into your freedom. I loose the spirit of truth. I loose divine perspective over you today. I loose it right now in the spirit. I loose a divine perspective into your thinking, that you will see things from God's perspective in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Jesus. We love you today, Lord. We love you today, Lord. You know, I just feel to do this. If you're here this morning, I want to pray two things. If you're here this morning and in your heart you say, I want to give my life completely to God. I want to give my heart completely to God. I believe Jesus is my Savior. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be washed clean on the inside. And this prayer right now is for those really who have never prayed this before. Maybe someone brought you to church today, or maybe you're visiting, or I don't know, or maybe you're here and you come to church, but you want to rededicate your heart to God. You want to re-give your heart to God today and say, God, I don't want to hold anything back from you anymore. I want to give you everything. Forgive me of all my sins and set me free and help me live for you, God. I want us to pray corporately together today, and I invite really everyone to pray this prayer with me. Just say, God, I believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God. And I ask you, Jesus, forgive my sin, wash me clean,
Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me victory in every area of my life. Help me live completely for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Oh, just thank him for a moment. Just thank him because he hears your prayer today. He hears it. He responds to your prayer today. Jesus, I thank you that you hear our prayer and you respond to our prayer. Now, Father, I just declare over every person here that prayed that prayer, I declare under the authority of the Word of God that their sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Father, I declare they are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. They are free from the enemy, and they are free to live in victory and free to live in freedom, free to live in power. Lord, I declare it over them right now. Sin has no hold on them. They are free in the name of Jesus. I declare the power of sin broken, the power of the enemy broken. And in the name of Jesus, I declare a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, someone just caught that right now. Someone just got that right now. In the Spirit, I see it right now. Sin just, it just broke. It has no power over you in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, God. We love you. We love you. We love you. Oh, we love you. Freedom. 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 Joy. Breakthrough. I pray joy over you today. I pray freedom over you today. I pray a fresh anointing, a fresh filling of God over you today. Oh, receive it right where you are. Just receive that anointing today. Oh, God's pouring out a fresh oil. He's pouring out a fresh anointing all over this place. God is just pouring his anointing and presence upon you today. Lord, we receive it all over this place. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, sho robo shiki yabashande. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many sense his freedom here today? Yeah. How many know God is doing something in you right now? God is doing something in you right now. Oh, yeah. How many are receiving that fresh anointing today? Come on now. How many are receiving that fresh power from God today? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. I think we just need to give him a praise right now. We need to give him praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, God. Hey, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on now. You're going out different today. You're going out different. Different. Going out different today. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on now. Oh, Jesus. Well, I don't know if the worship team is here. I don't see them all. But I would say we could end with a song. But if not, you could play a song. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Before they do a song, I feel like I have a word for some of you today. It goes right along with what Matt was preaching, and the word is this: sometimes you have to be willing to let something lesser be taken from you to make room for something greater to be given to you. I want to say that again. Sometimes you've got to be willing to let something lesser, although you won't see it as lesser at the time, but something lesser to be taken from you to make room for something greater to be given to you. Joseph had that coat taken from him, and I imagine he grieved the loss of that thing. And I don't know how long he grieved the loss of it, but let me ask you a question. Did he go the rest of his life coatless? I got a scripture for you if you still have your Bible open. Genesis 41, verse 42. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand. We're talking like the president here. Took the signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. Listen to this. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. You can't wear two coats at once. It just doesn't work very well. So yeah, he had a coat taken from him, but all it did is make room for a finer coat to be given to him. And along with that finer coat came a ring for his finger and a gold chain for his neck. And I believe God is saying to some of you, you've had a coat taken from you, but God is saying, release it. And as you release it, you are making room for a greater coat to be clothed with in the days ahead. I don't think Joseph could get that better coat till he was able to release the old one. Some of you today, you're releasing something that's been taken from you. You're going to walk out today saying, that's gone. I release it. Now there's room for a better to be given me. So I want to pray that over you. And then after the prayer, the worship team can lead us in a song. And you can go when you want, worship if you want. But I also want to pray a second thing for you that Matt brought out. And that is that in your pit naturally, that God will give you, before you leave, the perspective from the right hand of God. You physically, you naturally might be in a pit today, but it's when you finally realize, I'm not there spiritually. Spiritually, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I believe when that takes root, that's when you're coming out. That's when you're coming out of the natural pit, when you realize that you're not there spiritually. Father, many here today have lost things. They've grieved the loss of things and have sensed that loss. But God, today we declare to release it. We declare to release it that we might make room for something better to be given. So today we release grief. Today we let go of loss. Today we say, God, it is yours. It is the way is now clear for something greater to be given. I thank you, God, that that is being released in this place today. God, I also thank you that even though some have been in a pit because of choices other people have made, I thank you, God, that that is not our destiny. I thank you, God, even when we end up in a pit naturally, that spiritually we are not there. Spiritually, we are seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, I pray today that you will lift our vision out of the pit. And God, that we will see things from that heavenly perspective. And Lord, that as our vision rises over the pit, the rest of us will follow out of the pit and into those heavenly places. I thank you for that. I thank you, God. And now we worship in faith, believing that those things have been released to us today. Today, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship team, lead us. And let's go out worshiping this morning.